As he neared the end of his life, the Apostle Paul traveled extensively, saying goodbye to the people that he loved. He didn't know how much time he had, so he spoke what was on his heart. To the elders of the Ephesian church, a church that he loved very much, Paul said, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." As Christians, it is unfortunate that we are sometimes more prone to point out the lack or the mistakes than to come alongside an individual, a nation, or a people group and say, "Hey, this must be tough for you. I know there must be a lot of different kinds of conflict you're struggling with. But I want you to know that God loves you, and God wants to help you." How easy it is for us to be prejudiced and immediately shove people into little boxes. This one can be saved, that one cannot be saved. Or, this one God loves, that one God doesn't love. Who says God doesn't love them? And who says God doesn't care for them? Certainly not the God of the Bible. We read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Now, this is not to say that we condone sin. We will never condone sin because God is a holy God. We cannot condone, but it is not our business to condemn. We are not called to condemn politicians, nations, lifestyles, or decisions, though we cannot condone them. But we know that God wants every single one to hear the good news that the grace of God can change even them. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And as author Andy Stanley remarks, grace acknowledges the full implication of sin, and yet does not condemn. Grace convicts. This is very beautifully illustrated in the story of how Jesus saved a woman caught in adultery. She had broken the law, and a mob of holier-than-thou people dragged her in front of Jesus to be stoned. Jesus didn't argue. He just began to write in the sand. One by one, the accusers left, not because Jesus had corrected or chided them, but because Jesus' graciousness had convicted them. They realized they were sinners and had no right to condemn the woman. So what is grace? In order for us to understand what grace is, we need to look at grace in the context of two other words, mercy and justice. Justice is getting what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. God is a God of justice, and because of that, when we get punished, we are getting what we deserve. But if we turn to him and accept that we are wrong and we repent, mercy is shown to us. We end up not getting what we deserve because of God's forgiveness. But God goes beyond justice and mercy in responding to our human inclinations, a state of his grace where God gives us what we really do not deserve: his continual presence in our lives, his continually picking us up from where we have failed, and continually saying, "Press on, press on." Has God always been a God of grace? What about in the Old Testament where he commanded that everyone in Canaan be killed? Reading the Bible carefully, we find that the people who lived in Canaan were extremely wicked. Their manner of religious rituals involved child sacrifice, and they were immoral. God sending his army to conquer them was simply executing judgment on a group of people whom he had given a long time to repent, but who had not. It was not genocide. It was a nation reaping the consequences of their sin. So how does all this relate to us today? Grace must be proclaimed through us by the Spirit. Grace is the precursor of faith, hope, and love. Without grace, we could never have been saved. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Paul said in Romans 5:8. Jesus personified grace. If we want to know what grace looks like, we only have to look at his life. Jesus lived by grace and died by grace. As believers, we too should have the mind of Christ to think graciously, to have the attitude of Christ to respond graciously, and by his power, live and die graciously. As people of grace, we first demonstrate the grace of God and share His love.